This is Dizzy to Distraction, written and read by Tipsy Kitty. Steed was poking around in the galley for the ingredients to make some of that tea bread Ed liked. A white flag, as it were. Not that Ed was likely to appreciate it in his current state. His current state being vindictive asshole, Steed thought peevishly. He'd finally found a jar of currants tucked away in a drawer when he became aware of quiet voices conferring in the mess. Even Steed, who could admit to being a tad unobservant at times, knew what up to no good sounded like. He peered through the window to see a couple of the new men on Ed's crew. Steed hadn't bothered to learn their names, as he was still salty about the marooning of his own men, arguing about the measurements of whatever drink they were concocting. You think that's enough? Too much? Needs more honey. I don't care how it tastes, you fuckwit. I'm asking if this is enough to knock him out without killing him. Boss was real fucking clear on that. How should I know? You're the one who said you used to go with the druggist's daughter. All I know is that stuff's bitter as fuck, so add some goddamn honey. Steed stood frozen, processing what he was hearing. If their boss was Ed, did that mean he was planning to poison Steed? He knew Ed had been a bit, well, miffed might be an understatement, but still. Steed had hoped that since he'd been met with hostility but not outright violence when they boarded a few days back, there might still be some chance of reconciliation. Besides, poisoning didn't seem like Ed's style. Steed, sure. He could readily imagine himself sprinkling poison from the secret compartment of a jeweled perfume ring. In fact, he should really see about acquiring one of those. Maybe with a sapphire. But Ed was much more direct than Steed, and much better with a sword or a gun or, really, any battle weapon. All the battle weapons. I think this is good. I saw him drink a bottle of rum in, like, an hour last week. No way this'll kill him. That might be more rum than Steed's had in a year, so they probably weren't talking about him. Still clutching his jar of currants, he tiptoed after them up the stairs. They weren't particularly stealthy. By the time he followed them into the warm evening air, he had the gist of their plans. What a couple of absolute knobs. He still couldn't believe Ed would leave a perfectly good crew for dead out of spite, and then hire on these imbeciles. Ed, he called as he emerged onto the deck. I wouldn't drink that. Ed was standing with the conspirators up by the foremast, and at Steed's voice he turned to glare at him. Fuck off, Bonnet, or I'll throw you in the brig. Ed yelled back, reaching for the cup. Honestly, of all the stubborn, Steed muttered. The absolute nerve of that man. Steed was going to extirpate him. He took off running. I said don't drink that, Steed snapped when he skidded to a stop in front of Ed, narrowly avoiding tripping over a coil of wet rope. I don't take orders from you, Bonnet, Ed snapped back. You're lucky you still have your skin showing up here again. Skin is a privilege on my ship that you haven't earned. Your ship? After the last captain abandoned her, you better fucking believe she's my ship, Ed said, lifting the tin cup to take a drink. The last captain was arrested and forcibly removed, as you well know, Steed said frostily. You are utterly impossible. Give me that. Then he wrested the cup away from Ed, shoved him out of the way with the hip, and drank the contents down in one go. What the fuck are you on about, Steed? Ed said, incredulous.
Poison,
Steed said, around a rather ungentlemanly belch. These two are working with pirate hunters. I heard them say they were going to get you out of the way, then signal the others to move in. Poison, Ed repeated. He looked from the empty cup in Steed's hand to the two pirate hunters who were trying to slink away. Why the fuck didn't you just dump it out? Well, Steed said, his anger receding as he realized the sheer scope of his idiocy. Well, that's... yes, that probably would have been the wiser course. From there, things started to go a bit fuzzy. The conspirators, who'd been having an urgent conversation with their eyebrows during this exchange, made a break for the railing, no doubt liking their chances better with the sharks than a wrathful Blackbeard.
Stop them,
Ed shouted to the crew, who had been looking on warily from a distance. Steed watched, as through a fogged window, Ed sprang into action, drawing his sword and shouting orders to the crew, to bring the ship about, to watch for approaching vessels, to help Captain Bonnet. A knife sailed past Steed's startled face and landed in the hand of the dark-haired pirate with a thunk, pinning him to the railing. Ed knocked the other to the ground and held him there with the sword at his throat. Steed, though he was still profoundly irritated with Ed, couldn't help but admire how swiftly he had acted. "So decisive," he murmured as he slid down the mast and puddled at its foot. "Need to work on that." "Captain?" Lucius appeared in front of him, kneeling on the deck and waving a hand in front of Steed's face. "Are you with us? I heard you drank something you shouldn't have." "Oh, hello, Lucius," Steed said. "I seem to have misplaced my legs." "They'll turn up, I'm sure. Captain Stabby wants me to take you below deck in case we don't outrun the pirate hunters. Can you stand?" "Can I stand? What a question," Steed said, not at all sure he could stand and stalling for time. "Can I stand? Can I stand? Can..." "Me, John," Lucius called. "Little help?" "In a minute," John called back, currently busy pressing both pirate hunters to the deck with a hand to their backs while Fang secured them with rope. Lucius sat down next to him to wait. "Well, this puts a damper on my evening. I had a date with Pirate Ted tonight." He must have seen Steed's confusion because he pointed towards the men Wee John was holding. "The dark-haired one." "He called himself Pirate Ted." Bit of a clue in hindsight, right?" Steed slid sideways into Lucius's shoulder and turned his face up, watching clouds that resembled fat pink peonies drift across the sky. "A date? What about Pete?" "Oh, he was going to watch." "Really? How modern. Or, unless, does Pete need to watch?" Steed whispered. "For tips?" "That's not... Maybe I should watch for tips. I could use some tips." Steed noticed in a detached sort of way that his lips felt like they belonged on someone else's face.
"Nope, no, absolutely not."
"Tips." Steed tapped his lips. "Tips. It's lost all meaning." His circling thoughts were interrupted by the sound of Ed threatening the saboteurs.
"What was in that fucking drink?"
he yelled as he stabbed a knife into the wooden deck half an inch from Pirate Ted's nose.
"Tell me or you're going overboard one piece at a time."
"Lucius, isn't he dashing?" Steed said dreamily. "Okay then," Lucius said, patting Steed's knee. "I think we better get you to the captain's quarters. Be a dear and give standing a try." Steed stared at his feet with all the concentration he could muster. They seemed very far away, while Lucius approached Ed and Wee John for a quick conference. "The good news," Lucius said, as he returned and began tugging Steed upright, "is that they weren't trying to kill Blackbeard. They seemed to think they'd be celebrated for bringing him in alive. So you might not actually die. And the bad news?" "The bad news is that they're absolute idiots. They mixed rum, laudanum, belladonna, which they thought was just for sleeping, and one or two mystery powders. So, you might actually die." Steed knew he should be alarmed by this, but he was feeling too fine to worry. The deck was bathed in the golden light of the setting sun, the evening breeze a refreshing sting against his face, and Ed was glowing like a fierce angel as he stalked from the captives to the prow, spyglass in hand. Also, Steed was stoned off his tits. In fact, all his anxieties that generally nipped about, pestering him like his mother's toy spaniels once had, now felt very far away, as though tucked off in a distant room of a house where he no longer lived. "Lucius," he said, "do you think my financial situation can support an opium habit?" "Your financial situation cannot currently support a scribe," Lucius snapped. "Now come on." With much swearing and sweating on Lucius's end, and a lot of apologetic giggling on Steed's, they managed to make their way to the captain's quarters. As they passed the two pirate hunters, Steed paused to tell them that he would like to send his drink back, as it had been sorely lacking honey. "Do you have, like, any self-preservation instincts at all?" Lucius asked. "Not lately," Steed said. As they approached the door, Steed pulled back. "Ed said he doesn't want me here." "Special circumstances, he won't mind." "He was pretty convincing," Steed said, but he let Lucius pull him across the room and steer him towards the bed. He sat heavily, gravity not giving him much choice in the matter. "Well, this is..." He glanced around. The room was gloomy and bare, the windows shrouded in dark curtains. "Aesthetic?" "Right. Well, you stay put and try to stay awake. I'm going to check if Roach has some ipecac squirreled away." Steed leaned against the window and watched the sunlight dance on the waves, pink and gold and brilliant. He felt like he was moving at a different speed to the ship, or in a different direction. Time seemed to stop for stretches instead of flowing in the usual way, and then brief moments would catch his attention like he was flipping through a book of engravings. Lucius and Roach coaxing him to drink an emetic. Roach prying the jar of currants from his hand. Lucius patting his forehead absently with a damp linen cloth, the gloom somewhat mitigated by a lamp that had been lit. Roach propping him up against the wall so he wouldn't choke if he were sick. Head leaning against the dresser by the foot of the bed nook, arms crossed, looking unimpressed. Head leaning against the dresser, arms crossed, looking unimpressed. Head, arms crossed, looking unimpressed. The third or fourth time Steed noticed him, time slotted into place again. "Ed, are you all right?" Steed spoke carefully to avoid slurring. His words tumbled out in a slow spill. He felt as though he could almost see them gathering in his lap. "It looks like I've done something foolish."
"Yummy, I'm aware. What exactly was the plan, anyway? And why are you still so out of it? Roach was supposed to give you something to stick it up."
"Oh, I dumped that out. Yuck." Steed looked over the edge of the bed where a puddle of the syrup remained. He'd have to do something about that later, once he felt a little less like a drunken marionette.
"You dumped out the medicine but drank the fucking poison? What is wrong with you?"
"Truly a question for the ages," Steed said with a sigh. "Possibly."
Ed cut him off. "Why are you here?"
"Yes, sorry I took the bed. Only Lucius was quite insistent. But if..."
"Not that," Ed said through gritted teeth. "Why are you still here, on a ship you abandoned, when I've made it clear there's no place for you here anymore?"
"Oh, well," Steed said, but found he didn't know how to continue. He'd been trying for days to get Ed to listen to his apologies and explanations. And of course now, when his brain felt like potato mash, Ed wanted to talk. He began again. "Well, I came back because I love you. Because I realized that I loved you. And I came back so I could tell you that, mostly. And so we could..." He trailed off. Again, he had the sense that he could almost see his words. Like they had been rendered visible, or even tangible. Perhaps that's why it felt like they were choking him. "I see now that you don't want that anymore. Don't know why you ever did, if I'm being honest. So, if you want me to go, I'll go." He traced the word "go" on his thigh. It was pleasingly round. "I've gone and made a hash of everything again."
"A hash," Ed repeated, his voice rough.
Steed risked a glance up. Ed looked frayed around the edges, his eyes careworn.
"Yeah, I think that'd be best. If you go, you should go."
Huh. That wasn't at all what he'd hoped Ed would say. He wondered if it was too late to rescind the offer. "I'll miss your eyes," he said, and then wished he'd said anything else. He wanted to keep looking at Ed, to drink him in while he could, but his eyelids were too heavy. He still felt a bit floaty, but that pleasant detachment had faded, replaced by nausea and a fatigue so profound that Steed thought it might end him. But then Steed had drunk poison. His end had always been a possibility. "Those damn spaniels are back," Steed said, and then closed his eyes. "Is it getting dizzy in here?"
"Steed? Steed!"
He heard Ed calling his name from very far away, but he didn't have the energy to respond. Ed had spent weeks bouncing between two primary states, simmering rage and incoherent weeping. Then, shortly before Steed turned up again, he'd sort of started to even out. He'd sent Izzy and Ivan off to meet up with his flagship, hired some new idiots to replace Steed's idiots, and planned to spend what would no doubt be the short remainder of his life fucking up the English Royal Navy. As plans went, it wasn't his worst. He'd long outlived most of the guys he'd come up with. He figured going out in a rum-fueled riot of mayhem was the pirate version of dying in your sleep in a comfy bed. Then Seed came back, with his stupid smiling face and his stupid fluffy hair, and Ed was knocked completely off course again. And now, after days of either ignoring Steed or trying to argue him off the ship, this bullshit. He'd had to deal with the pirate hunters first, and left Steed to the care of the boy and the cook. He and Fane plotted a course to evade the trap laid by the pirate hunters. He wrung as much info as he could from the prisoners, who they were working for, what they'd dosed the rum with, what their next steps were supposed to be. It only took one thumb to turn them quite chatty. When he'd attended to every other possible matter and admitted to himself that he was avoiding the captain's quarters, he steeled himself and headed in. Steed was propped up in the window bed, looking out at the water, while Roach and Lucius argued over whether or not to stick a finger down his throat. "I'm already down one finger, in case it slipped your mind."
"So use that one, then. It's already wood."
They stopped to look at him when he walked in, and Ed waved them towards the door.
"Just go,"
he said, and they scarpered. Steed looked a little disoriented, maybe, but not like he was on the verge of death. He caught sight of Ed, and his face lit up. But then he became distracted by the window and turned his attention back to the sea. Ed wanted very badly to hate him, to do what he should have done days ago and throw him in the brig or toss him over the side. But every time Steed caught sight of Ed, he would smile his guileless smile, and Ed's stupid, traitorous heart would flip over in his chest. At least 30 minutes had passed before Steed caught sight of him and actually seemed to register his presence. He still smiled his big, stupid smile, but his eyes looked a little more focused, and when he spoke, he sounded more or less clear-headed. A little slow and a little slurred, maybe, and he lost his place a couple of times, but he wasn't raving mad or anything. They talked. Steed threw the word love around, like Ed was supposed to fall for that. Steed offered an out, and Ed took him up on it. Steed would leave, and Ed would carry out his plan to harry the English Navy until he ended Blackbeard's reign. A storybook ending. Then Steed took in a hitching, shuddering breath and sagged against the wall, unconscious.
"Fuck. Fuck a dick.
Steed. Steed." But Steed was out. For a time, Ed paced back and forth like a caged animal. Lots of room for pacing without all that pesky furniture in the way. Then he came to a stop in front of the bed. Why had Steed even come back if he was offering to just fuck off again? Typical Steed. Run away to sea, run away to land. He looked terrible, though. His eyes were bruised, and his breaths were slow and shallow, and, as Ed watched, seemed to stop altogether.
"Steed?"
Ed shook him, but he was unresponsive. Lucius popped his head in at that moment, took one look at Ed's face, and tried to back away.
"Get the cook,"
Ed yelled, and Lucius, who'd been keeping well out of Ed's way, took off.
"Steed, wake up,"
Ed said. He placed a hand on Steed's cheek, and it felt clammy.
"Steed, you better wake up or I'll kill you myself."
"This is your bedside manner?" Roach said, appearing by his side. He felt for Steed's pulse.
"You can't threaten people into living."
"Maybe you can't. I'm Blackbeard." Then he noticed what Roach was carrying, and said,
"Yeah, I'm not sure you need that cleaver, mate."
"Oh, this is for you, in case you start feeling murdery again." Ed ran a hand through his hair, ignoring the dig.
He stopped breathing for a few seconds. "I don't know what to do."
"He's breathing now." Roach tipped Steed's head back a bit, listened to his chest for a moment, and stood up with a shrug.
"Can you fucking help him or not?"
"Not? I mean, even if we had more of the syrup, I couldn't give it to him like this. He'd probably just choke on it."
"Fucking, what is your purpose again?"
Roach's hand returned to the cleaver tucked in his apron strings. He looked completely unruffled by Ed's outburst.
"I'm the butcher."
Ed let out a frustrated breath.
"Just go."
He went back to pacing, but it took him too far from Steed's orbit, made it hard to check that he was still breathing, that his heart was still beating. He looked around for a chair. remembered he'd kicked the desk chair to splinters a couple of weeks back. He should maybe work on that. Finally, he kicked off his boots, climbed over Steed, and wedged himself in the corner of the bed with his back to the window. It was a tight fit. He checked Steed's pulse in his wrist, and then under his jaw, and then again on his wrist, and then gave in and just held Steed's wrist in the loose circle of his fingers. The night felt interminable. A few times Steed awoke, beamed at him, and promptly passed out again. Every time he watched Steed smile at the sight of him, Ed's resolve to drop Steed off at the closest port and sail off into the sunset crumbled a bit more. The next time he opened his eyes, Ed was holding a mirror under his nose to make sure he was breathing. Steed, greeted with the sight of his own nostril blown up in a magnifying mirror, squawked indignantly and batted the mirror away with all the strength of an anemic kitten. "Why would you?" he asked Ed, affronted. Ed felt his eyes go a bit damp. He hadn't realized how certain he'd been that he would never hear Steed's voice again until that moment. "Well, if he wouldn't stop breathing, I wouldn't have to, would I?" Steed closed his eyes again. "Sorry, that was irresponsible of me," he murmured, and then he was out once more. He roused again just before daybreak, looking like maybe the worst was over. He took in Ed, sitting vigil next to him and holding his wrist, and said, "Did I..." He coughed, frowned, and tried again. "Did I miss the part where you forgave me and we made up? I'd like to remember that bit." "Not exactly," Ed said, passing him a cup of water. "Just kind of lost my zest for hating you, I guess. It's been a long night, Steed." Steed took a careful sip. "I don't remember much. Coming in here to lie down, and then just fragments." "Well, you almost died, which is not ideal." "Sorry if I frightened you." "I'm fucking Blackbeard. Nothing scares me," Ed said reflexively, though he was still stroking Steed's pulse point. "Do you still want me to go away?" Steed asked cautiously. "Because I really, really don't want to. But I will, if you ask." Ed huffed. "No, Steed. Turns out I'm good at everything except hating you." "And whist. I bet I could beat you at whist. I'd like to see you try." Steed lifted a hand to his temple, wincing, and said, "Feels like I was actually hit by a piano this time." "Which time were you not actually hit by a piano?" "Back in Kingstown." Ed waited a beat, then asked, "Are you going to tell me about it?" "Yes. But it will require lots of pantomime and at least 3 costume changes. Tomorrow?" He pushed himself fully upright, running a hand over his belly with a groan. "All of my organs hurt." "Yeah, mate, you drank poison. You planning to make a habit of that?" "No," Steed said, sounding a bit petulant. "Not if you listen when I tell you not to drink any old thing that's handed to you." "Yeah, that sounds fair." Steed licked his lips and made a face. "My mouth tastes like something died in it." "Something did. Your common sense." But Ed clambered over Steed to refill his water cup and snag a licorice from the dresser drawer. Then he stood by the bed, uncertain, until Steed patted the spot next to him. "You look like you could use some rest. And I still feel like I've been wrung out and left to dry. Come lie down? Plenty of time later to talk about what we'd do differently if we could." Ed started to climb back in when Steed said, "Oh, but I do have a wonderful botany book that has detailed information on poisonous plants. Symptoms, antidotes, that kind of thing. So if something like this ever happens again, we can brew up the perfect solution." Steed looked up at Ed. "If you want to grab it out of the library, I could read up on it while you get some sleep." Ed's eyes went wide with apprehension. "Yeah, about that." Then he noticed Steed was biting the inside of his lips to keep his expression in check. Are you fucking with me?" Steed nodded seriously, and then gave up and broke into a wicked grin.
"So you know about the books?"
"I know about the books." Ed sighed and retook his spot on the bed.
"Diabolical."
His hand found its place again on Steed's wrist, and he closed his eyes as he felt the steady beat under his fingers. "Wait, what about the pirate hunters?" Steed asked before Ed could drift off.
"Gave him the slip. But I know where they're going to be in 3 days."
He leaned up on an elbow and raised an eyebrow at Steed.
What do you say we go after them and fuck them up?
Steve smiled that slow smile that I thought made him look unhinged, but in a fancy sort of way. I say it's a date. The end.